Welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast beyond a detraction of the entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we're doing a wild experiment this week.
Yes, which we hope to continue.
Hope to continue in some form. Definitely through the rest of the tomfuckery that we're going through right now.
Yeah.
But maybe past, we'll see. We'll have conversations will be ongoing.
Yes.
But we are actually live streaming our recording of this episode. There's a few of you out there. I know we did not announce this far in advance, so only a few people are joining us. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Greatly appreciate those of you who are there. We do have a chat that is open, so please feel free to leave thoughts and ideas and anything else in there. I have it open. I'll be looking at it, but it will not be super regular. We're looking at it.
Right, and after the podcast is over, we do plan on hanging around for a few minutes to chat with you guys.
Yeah. So, yeah, those of you who sign on late... we had a lot of fuckery this week trying to get on it. Hopefully next week will be smoother. Basically, Facebook does not make this simple by any stretch of the imagination. There is a learning curve here, and I am basically running headlong, nose first, into that learning curve.
Yes.
Week after week, just like with the goddamn Haunt Live Tour, right into that learning curve.
Yeah.
But if you like seeing me smack my face on learning curves, this is definitely the podcast for you. You can find us at hauntweekly.com, hauntweekly on Twitter, hauntweekly on Facebook. You can also go to youtube.com/hauntweekly for our YouTube channel. We may be also co-streaming there in the future.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a test right now where it's private there, so you cannot see the live stream there at YouTube, though. That doesn't help people after the fact, does it?
No.
But maybe next week you will be able to. You can also catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.
Yes. And real quick, before we jump into this new section that we're going to unveil, Don't Be a Monster is having its virtual auction. If you're watching this live, you know this. So tomorrow is the last day for it. It ends Monday at 3 p.m.
So. All right. And apparently our audio is not synced, because why should anything work right?
Fun.
Maybe Facebook will figure it out. I don't know what to say, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It should be synced. Everything's going through pretty much the same USB infrastructure. It's good as I can make it on mine, but we'll take a look at it later.
Yeah, we'll try better next time.
Yes, we will. All right. Okay, so like I said, we're doing this, and the aim right now is every Sunday at 8 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
we're going to do a live stream on the Facebook, maybe next week on the YouTubes, and do the podcast live, and then those of you who... still get your podcast normal way. Can obviously still get it the normal way Monday, sometime in the afternoon. I'll edit it up. Not that there's much editing. Editing is a real, real kind term for what I actually do with it.
Right.
I'm going to slap it together with a little bit of grease. But long story short is, you'll still be able to get it that way. But we do hope to continue these into the future. Please do continue to join us in the chat. Sorry for the audio sync issues. I don't know what's going on with that.
No, it might be because your computer is like overworked because it's trying to run
two videos at the same time. Yeah, I don't know. And that maybe we may have to use a restreamer service or something like that in the future.
Right.
I don't know. But we're going to figure it out next time around. I apologize. Not much I can do about that right now because we're mid-podcast. All right.
Yep.
So with that in mind, we wanted to unveil a new section.
Yes.
Now, we talked last week about how we're not going to do conference reminders for a bit because there ain't no conferences, and that seems silly.
Yes.
But there's still a lot of neat stuff going on to help ponders. Now, last week we did the COVID/quarantine resources, and we promised this week not to do a COVID episode.
Yes.
We're keeping that promise.
Yes, we are.
We're keeping that promise.
Yes. Yes, that's the camera, that's the mic.
I'm pointing at both. Because of the awkward setup, we have the cameras like 10 feet away. I can like force choke it. It is the best I can do. And now I can make motions at the camera.
Exactly.
It's great. I can then people, like, somebody will get it. They might get it about 10 seconds late because of the second.
Right.
Anyways, new section. God damn it. New section. Focus.
Yes.
Focus, people.
Okay.
Basically, though, we're going to keep our fingers on the pulse of things and try to find new and interesting things that are haunters are doing to help haunters during this time and shine a light on them.
Right. And we're trying especially for free or close to free.
Yeah. Free or stupid affordable.
Yes. And we need your help for this. Like, we really do.
Yes.
Because I've been seeing a lot of people doing great, like taking pictures of what they're making and things, but they're not putting together an instructional, which, you know, to each his own. But we were able to find a few resources for you this week.
Yeah, so definitely let us know. Send us a message at Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Mm-hmm. The contact form at hauntweekly.com works.
Yes.
And that actually is really great because it goes to both of us.
Supposedly.
As does the messages on Facebook. The Twitter stuff goes just to me. So you can message us on Twitter. It's fine. It's great. If that's your preferred method, it's fine.
You're getting him.
You're getting me and no one else. So if you get an asshole response, you know why.
Yeah.
So first off, April 7th, there's a Facebook event entitled How to Create Incredible Images and Video, a free webinar by Fearworm Hauntvertising.
Yes.
That's coming up.
Yes.
Keep an eye on Haunter's Toolbox.
Right.
We forgot to mention them last week, I believe.
I think we mentioned them, but they have a breadth of knowledge and resources and things that you can be learning right now. So it's something to definitely keep in mind. And that's a year-round thing. So.
Yep. Holly Chrysler. I can never say it right. I have to, like, come at it from an angle to get her. And I don't know why it's just Chrysler.
Yeah, I know. We actually interviewed her.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
But yeah, she'll find out the episode. She's doing live makeup tutorials daily, I believe.
No,
not daily. Oh, well, thank you for the correction. Regularly.
Yeah, regularly. Follow her. I talked to her earlier today to get permission to put her on this list. Just follow her on her personal page. Yeah. That's Holly, H-O-L-L-Y. And Chrysler, C-R-I-S-L-E-R.
Yes, C-R-I-S-L-E-R. You see why I have to come at it sideways.
Yes, and it was episode 34 if you want to listen to hers.
Ooh, wow, that's a long good while ago, isn't it? All right, everyone. So, and basically, beyond that, join us every Sunday at 8 p.m. We're going to try to make this a regular thing. We're going to do this podcast live. Hopefully, we'll work out the audio sync and other issues. My apologies for the technical difficulties. There have been so many.
Yes.
But I do think I have a handle on how to do it properly next week. Now, I figured out what I did wrong this week, which is basically Facebook hides, you know, the easy way to go live. Mm-hmm. They bury it because apparently you're supposed to be, you know, doing the most complicated stuff imaginable. I'll work on the audio sync and other things later. It seems fine on the YouTube one, so maybe we'll just be pimping out the YouTube one later.
Yeah, and just sharing that,
On Facebook.
That link on Facebook.
Yeah, maybe doing that instead.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at the YouTube one now, and it's actually synced up.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's actually perfect. Other than the fact it's the wrong camera, because the other camera's taken.
Yeah.
It's my mug. No. Okay. So, housekeeping stuff. Right now on Haunt Weekly's Facebook, you can go back and rewatch the haunt tour we did. It took about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Once again, we had tech issues with it. And the big one there was, apparently if you schedule an event on Facebook, you can't just go live with it from your phone.
No, you can't.
There's seemingly no way to do that.
Yeah.
So, I didn't know that. forgive me. I had no idea that I couldn't just go, okay, go live. Boop, boop, here we are. That was the plan.
Yeah.
It did not work out.
Yeah, I think that's Facebook's fault.
I think that one's on Facebook, not me. I feel pretty confident that one's on Facebook. But go check it out, facebook.com/hauntweekly, 40-minute-long video. People seem to have a lot of fun. It's gotten a good amount of views. I'm happy with how it came out, ultimately.
Yeah.
And it felt really good to be able to show off the haunt to a bunch of fellow haunters and home haunter types. And I don't know. It seemed like everyone was having a good time with it.
Yeah, and we are still, if you comment on it, we will still respond to those comments. So
yeah, if you have questions or anything, just leave a comment there. We'll do our best to get to them.
Yep.
All right, as usual, we managed to faff around for 10 minutes.
Yay!
So that means it's time to actually get into the meat of this week's episode.
Yes.
And to that end, this actually comes from something we've discussed in bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been, like, eating at this, like, right? like bunny rabbits.
Yes.
Ah, see what I did there?
Yeah.
Like little bunny rabbits, we've been eating at this, but not really taking full bites.
Right.
Been nibbling at it. And the idea is the idea. Woo! That's a linguist, Jonathan. Okay, the idea of holiday haunts. And the reason we bring this up is because Easter is coming up now. Mm-hmm. I don't anticipate there be any Easter haunts this year.
No.
But we have seen them in the past. They have been things.
Yes.
And it's a very interesting idea. Haunts are looking for ways to basically expand outside of the traditional late September through October season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to that end, one of the things that they've been the haunts been doing a lot of is short runs around holidays.
Right. And so we want to go into what we would want to see and what we would expect out of a holiday haunt.
Yeah, and this is kind of a weird one because we're talking about this as our perspective of haunt goers.
Yeah.
But also looking at it from the position of haunters, right, how we would fix the gripes that we've had with a lot of the holiday haunt shows we've seen. That being said, go back to episode 115. Mm-hmm. That is where we talked about year-round haunting and the idea of expanding the haunt season more broadly.
Right.
Talked a little bit about this then.
Yeah. But mainly we went over holidays that could be hauntified,
yes,
pretty easily and ones that you might want to stay away from.
Yes. And Easter, I think, is one we said you might want to stay away from.
I don't know.
I don't remember that one that well.
Yeah, that was 100 episodes ago.
That was literally 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's important for two reasons. One is I don't remember it.
Yes.
And the other is that we have actually been to several holiday haunts since then.
Right.
We actually have a lot more experience with it that we're bringing to bear in this episode.
Yes.
So you're getting the benefit of new experience here.
Yeah.
Hope that helps. All right. So, yeah, episode 115 is your previous episode to check out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first point that we've been wanting to see and have not actually, I don't think we've actually seen this at any holiday
haunt,
is the idea of a unique character.
Yeah.
Now, the haunts usually do a unique theme. You know, yeah. My Bloody Valentine, Christmas Terror, or something like
right.
that. They do a theme.
Yeah.
But there's no character special to it. And it's kind of bizarre because some of them have had really interesting costumes mm-hmm. related to the holiday at hand, but have not made it a full-fledged character.
Right. Because, I mean, anybody can do a bloody insert holiday icon here.
Yeah.
Bloody Santa, bloody Easter Bunny. But
you bloody know, leprechaun, bloody...
Yeah. You know, you could do Krampus for your horror one. And there are a lot of haunts that do that at their Christmas show. Not knocking it, but, you know, what about killer elves with lollipops that are, like, trying to bash your brains in or something, you know?
What about, you know, even something as simple as, you know, a serial killer that that dresses up as a mall Santa or something? You could tell a more realistic story that way.
Yeah.
You could have... You can come at this...
You could do Mrs. Claus.
Yeah.
Nobody's done Mrs. Claus as the killer.
Well, we all know this is the night Santa went crazy. Weird Al covered this.
Yes. Obvious.
Mrs. Claus was selling the movie rights, as we all know.
Yes. She's making that money.
Mm-hmm. That dollar, y'all. but yeah, the idea of a special character for the event, even if it's a sort of a twist or a spin on your existing haunt character.
Right.
Because, I mean, like, for example, if you have, like we do, a Carnival Barker character.
Right.
It would be easy to transform that into like a leprechaun character, for example.
Yeah.
Or you got that evil smile on your face. And for those watching, now you know what it looks like.
Yes, since I can't see the video, I'm not hiding the expressions. So what if, you know, Bernie Baxter, because you're Bernie Baxter,
I
get possessed by the spirit of Christmas and you don't want to be possessed, so you're like fighting the Christmas spirit, but now you're like all Christmas-fied.
Yeah, but that's just it. And that's a good point. You could take your existing character and give them a holiday-themed storyline.
Right.
And that does make them a different character, oddly
yeah.
enough, because the story is part of the character.
Right. Because Bernie would never wear a Santa hat, but if we did a Christmas theme, he probably would.
I think he would do better with the top hat, but like a Santa coat.
Yeah. Something like that.
Because he could be like the whole Ebenezer Scrooge thing, like at the end of the Christmas
Carol. Right. With the little holly and stuff.
Yeah, I could see that much easier than I could wearing a Santa hat. And also, it'd be much more comfortable for me because I...
Yeah, I wasn't thinking of your comfort. I was thinking
you of never how... think of my comfort. This is how it works.
That's because I've got all the actors inside the haunt to worry about. You worry about you.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord of mercy. See, this is... I'm glad y'all are watching this. I'm glad there's some people watching this, because now I got fucking witnesses. Oh, man. But anyways, but yeah, I do like that idea. Now, going back to the idea of the story, mm-hmm. it's also important to create and craft a unique story.
Right. If you need help with that, we've actually covered it.
Yes. Episode 126 is our episode about crafting a villain.
Yes.
And that is basically what makes a good villain. They have to be, you know, in this concept, like, they have to be a threat.
Right.
Is one of the things. They can't just be someone you can, you know, toss aside.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be an actual, honest-to-God threat. They have to be scary, but they have to be connectable with it.
Yeah.
And things like that. It's a good episode.
Yeah. So when I was thinking about this earlier and helping to write the show notes, I was thinking, what other minor characters could you do? And I thought about a big rock monster for the Blarney Stone that was covered in kisses and blood. It's like, I'm tired of being kissed. No.
6 feet.
Exactly.
Personal space. And we're back. But yes, yeah, so, no, there's a lot of things that you can do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think absolutely positively should be done. And the idea of crafting, though, a unique and original story is something that we don't see a lot. Because what typically happens with these holiday haunts that we've seen, at least the ones here and at least the ones I've been to, it's always been, it's Bloody Christmas or My Bloody Valentine. And then you're thrown into it.
Yeah.
And the whole gimmick is we're going to go see whatever the haunt is. Dressed up for Valentine's Day, or for Christmas, or for Easter,
right,
or whatever. And that, to me, doesn't really sell it. Where does this fit into the narrative?
Right.
And, I mean, there are a lot of haunts, like the 13th Gate locally, that don't do a narrative at all. And I think it's a lost opportunity. I think there definitely could be a thread there.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't do a narrative. And there are haunts that do narratives, like Rise. Mm-hmm. Rise pretty much has a fucking novel you can read at this point.
Yeah. Well, The Asylum's my favorite story there.
Yeah. And it's connected to the main... They've got the Rise cinematic universe, basically, going. It's bizarre. It's fair and weird, but it's cool. And I do like it. But when they do holiday... Have they done a holiday haunt?
No.
No, okay. But if they did a holiday haunt, I would expect that haunt to connect with the Rise cinematic universe in some way.
Exactly.
I'd be very disappointed if it didn't.
Yes.
Because that's what they've hinged on so much of their uniqueness on that.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite things about it, honestly, is knowing that there is this backstory. They are telling a narrative,
mm-hmm.
and they're using both the haunt and Q Line videos and everything else to tie it all together.
Right.
So if they don't connect their holiday haunt to it in some way, I'd be disappointed. And then the main thing with this is, the challenges haunters face with doing a holiday haunt is if you're a haunter that's used to having 10 months out of the year.
Right.
To tear down, rebuild, reopen, whatever, then trying to reopen again for Christmas or again for Valentine's Day and again possibly for Easter, that's a big ask.
Yeah.
That's a big shift in thinking there. You don't have the time you probably want or maybe even think you need in order to redo enough of the haunt.
Right.
If that's a position you're in, I understand that. I sympathize with that. Stories are free and they are easy to do.
Yeah.
It really does not take that long. If you want to do a big production video, great. I love those.
Yeah.
They're sexy and they're fun. But if it's just as simple as a story on a wall or a story on your site, that is also useful, and it can help explain a lot of the incongruencies. And the whole idea is, like, one of the things we're all trying to do as haunters is help people suspend disbelief. A story does that so much better than anything else.
Yeah. I mean, even if you're... you know, story is as simple as your normal story got infected by this you know,
spirit of whatever holiday.
Whatever, yeah.
And you know, you definitely can do better, but it could do a lot worse.
Exactly.
It's better than nothing. Something. It's something, yeah. It's not just, hey, come see our haunt with Christmas lights.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, give it.
We'll get into that in a minute.
We'll get into that in a minute, because basically, I think, like, I mean, we've talked at length about storytelling and haunts and why haunts should do it.
Right.
And my honest opinion is it's doubly important on these haunts, because they're not part of the year-over-year narrative. They're not part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the result is you have to quickly establish what the hell is going on in a way that you don't have to as much on the year-to-year show.
Right. Yeah.
Because if you've been there long enough, people have probably learned to suspend disbelief at your main haunt.
Mm-hmm.
But when you open for Easter and suddenly the zombies are wearing Easter bunny ears.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, do that. That is hilarious. You should definitely do that.
Yes, exactly.
But the point, where was I going with that?
I don't know.
But if you're like I said, if you have a year-round haunt and you're doing that suspension of disbelief normally, if you are doing a new event, you have to reestablish it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was going. And if you're going to have something as crazy as that stuff, and you still want people to be scared of, and you still want it to have that impact, you're going to have to establish it more firmly and why it's this way. Have it make at least a degree of fake sense.
Right.
Artificial sense. The best kind of sense.
I thought the best sense came from froggies.
No, sense. S-C-E-N-T-S.
Oh, okay.
I mean, no, we know Tater works at froggies. The best sense does not come from froggies. Love you, Tater. Hope you're not watching. Oh, man. So, yeah. And to that end, when we get into the haunt.
Right.
What's new?
What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
See, now I'm close enough. I can...
Damn it. I want to go back to the other room where we're far, far.
We're lying on the mics between us, and I knock over the mic if I try to lunge at you.
Exactly.
You wanted this arrangement.
No, I didn't. Anyway, so, new decorations. Yeah, we don't want to just see Christmas lights on your haunt. I mean, it's a start.
Obviously, it's part of it.
Yeah. But some actual new decorations. And I understand if it's your first year doing it and you don't have a lot of time to prepare for it. That's one thing. But if you've got some time, you know, take it and think about it. Build some stuff when you're not working on the main rooms of the haunt. I would love to walk into a room with fake Christmas trees, like from the ceiling and coming out of the walls and all sorts of weird stuff. So I don't think I've seen anything that's like really been built extra just for a holiday haunt.
No, I've not either. And yeah, you put it in the show notes, but it takes some tips from Knockdown Haunts.
Yeah.
These are Knockdown Haunts. Obviously, your haunts have to tear everything down and put it back up again. It includes both home haunts and pro haunts in that regard. They focus on quick building and construction techniques.
Nope.
And honestly, having worked and helped on a couple of those and been involved, it's really impressive what you can do when you mentally prepare a haunt to be knocked down and put back up.
Right. And the thing is that if you've got extra plywood, or you could get extra plywood, you could make new skins and just attach them to your existing walls just to change a room.
Yeah. Or even if you wanted to take it the next step, you just build new panels and replace the room.
Yeah, that's either harder.
It's harder, but it's also in its own way easier for some people than trying to replace skins alone.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to make them fit in a particular way.
Yeah.
Or if you need to redesign or relay out the room in a way.
Yeah, if you're doing a relay out, then yeah, go ahead and make the extra panels.
Yeah, but long story short, you know, that is one thing that you can do. Making rooms hot swappable, either by changing skins or changing panels, is a good step.
Mm-hmm.
And holiday rooms are something you theoretically can be working on anytime you're not working on the main haunt.
Yeah.
If you or your woodworking team are sitting idle because work's going elsewhere or something else is going on.
The haunt's open. They've got a break.
No, put them to work building skins and rooms for your Christmas haunt.
We're going to get so many complaints about that one.
I already can hear the people at New Orleans Nightmare yelling at me.
Yeah.
They are cursing our name right now, and you know it.
I know.
But yeah, making rooms swappable like that can help mm-hmm. a lot. Barring that, the biggest change you can make is lighting. And no, I don't mean just adding Christmas lights.
No.
I mean actually changing up your haunt lighting.
Right.
We have talked endlessly on this podcast about how lighting makes a room. Nearly every haunt decoration, every haunt room, even the higher end ones, look terrible under the bright lights
right.
of you know, just full light. It's the lighting that makes it. It's the lighting that makes it realistic. It's
yeah.
the lighting that brings it together. Now's your chance to change it up. It can be as simple as moving the lighting around to highlight different things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, moving your light bulb from one corner of the haunt to the other
yeah.
can not only change what's highlighted and what's focused, but it also flips your distract and your startle.
It does.
So you're also changing your scare with that.
Right. But I would yeah. also experiment with other colors. Like
yeah.
for an Easter haunt, I would definitely get pastel lights and put those up. And with the LED color-changing bulbs, it's really easy to change the color of a room really fast. It's press of a button. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, long story short, and those LED color-changing bulbs have been, I know they've been a godsend to us.
Yeah.
Because previously, like, and I'm talking like only like 4 or 5 years ago now.
Right.
We would have a big, giant Rubbermaid bucket filled with bulbs of all colors and strengths and sizes.
Yep.
And when we were doing our lighting, we're basically like kicking that thing from room to room. Pink? No. Red? No. Hot swap. Now it's just boop, boop with a remote. It's so much better. I love it.
It is.
Well, and
in our bathroom scene, there are yellow lights in there.
Yeah.
And it was like, do we want more yellow or more orange? Because it's just a little bit off. But we actually picked up those, and the price of those bulbs has come down a lot. They've dropped. You can now find them at Five Below. If Five Below is in your area, they're $5.
And they're actually Five Below. They're not like the rest of the electronics. They're 10 Below or 15
yeah.
Below or bullshit they're pulling
yeah,
out.
Yeah, those are still $5.
Seriously, it's in the name, Five
and
Below.
One remote can control them all.
Yeah. One remote to rule them all.
Yeah. It has to be pointed directly at them so you're not changing all of them
yeah.
if you're using one remote, but one remote can.
Which, that's kind of a weird advantage. Like, if I were writing a normal customer writing review, it'd be
yeah.
like, the remote has to be pointed exactly at the bell for it to work. Oh, Lord. It's such a trap. And as a haunter, it's like, it only works if it's pointed right at the bulb. You can use one remote and change them all.
Yeah, exactly. So you only have to keep track of one.
So, haunter review, 5 stars. Everyone else's review, 2.5.
Yeah.
But yeah, light, never underestimate the power of lighting. If you are short on time and short on money when trying to do a holiday haunt, throw the resources immediately into lighting,
mm-hmm.
and you'll get the best results.
Right.
Lighting and other elements like fog, for example, you can change rooms very quickly and
mm-hmm.
basically, without moving a single panel or a single prop,
yeah.
give it a completely different feel.
Now, I did want to mention that if you did want to, like...
I think we just crashed. I think our live thing just crashed.
Okay, well, keep going. I'm going to text Ellie and ask her.
We're yeah.
still recording.
We're
there.
Still recording, yeah. But anyways, the next element is, don't forget your sound design. Sound design is incredibly important when doing... I know, we're still here.
Okay, cool.
Sorry. I had one of my tabs had a freak out. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I thought I lost everything. Oh my god, I was about to eat a laptop. Oh, okay, where we go? Oh, yes. Sound design. Sound design. No.
I was talking about if you wanted to hide Easter eggs
oh.
as you know, the customer who spots this one special Easter egg, you know, have a picture of it. If you find this during the haunt,
get a $10 discount at the gift shop. Get a...
Or $5.
Yeah.
We're cheapskates here. Well, I mean, come on.
You get a pin, a badge, a
yeah,
pat on the back.
Yeah, just one of those little pins or a little sticker or something.
Yeah, you would be... And it's hilarious. And I realize the absolute abject stupidity of this. When we went to Hell's Gate...
Yes.
They had a thing where if you find the key in this room,
yeah.
you will get free admission to the haunt.
Right.
But we went on the Lost Souls tour
yeah.
where the admission was included with the price of Lost Souls.
It was. but there are people who did not.
Yeah.
That were there and waiting in a very long line.
But everyone in our group, including other people with lost souls, and I did it. I mean,
well, I didn't because I didn't hear the instructions because I was further back.
Well, that's a separate issue.
And I was like, what is everybody doing?
Yeah, but
why are you doing this?
Yeah, hiding something like that is a great way to get people looking in very weird places. But bear in mind, if you do that, a lot of your customers are not going to be looking at your distracts.
Yeah.
And it might impact your distract and startles going through. So
it might help it.
Might way to get it's going to change it. You got to weigh that.
Yeah, it will.
But anyway, sound design. Sound design is the lighting is one area I threw my weight into. Sound design is the other.
Yeah.
Because you can change the entire feel of a haunt with nothing more than the audio change. Add elements related to the holiday that's appropriate. Something as simple as having sleigh bells in the background.
Yeah.
Or, like, carolers way off in the distance or something like that.
Or distorted caroling.
Yeah, and creepy holiday music is always, always scary.
Yeah.
I mean, it is always super scary. And that's one of those things.
You should do a tutorial about how to, like, change sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just something anybody off the street can do.
Yeah, I'm no sound engineer by any stretch of the imagination. But I can definitely teach you how to make music and speech sound really fucked up.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm very good at that. And basically, if you want the 10-second version of it, slow the tempo by about 20% or so. Mm-hmm. Not much, about 20% is enough, and drop it one octave.
Yeah.
That gives it a really growling, deep bass, and it's just off enough on the speed that people notice it.
Right, and I think that if you went up an octave, it would also sound...
Oh, yeah.
Like, totally messed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, and that's just it. But yeah, or if you sped it up too, it could sound...
Yeah.
Basically, because what I was envisioning when I first started doing it was like those old-timey record players.
Oh, I used to play with that all the
when
time.
When they're winding down, like the kind of end of hand crank, when they would wind down and they're...
Oh, we had the little, like, my grandmother had the turntable thing that had the record on it and it had the different speeds and I'd always play with the speeds.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it sounded cool.
Record player said to the wrong speed. Yeah, that's another good analogy. I didn't even think about that, but yeah.
So, other examples real quick. One other thing that curtains can change a room completely.
Yeah.
Just put them over your existing walls. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, fine.
That's really quick. Be sure to spray it with the fire retardant. Or by fire retardant grade material, obviously. But
yeah, curtains are an easy way to change and hide things, and very cheap. Basically, find quick ways to have a big impact on the room.
Right.
Is what you're looking for. And once again, moving props around can have a big impact too, and that involves just taking the stuff you have and putting it in different places.
Right.
I mean, if you have a bunch of cages... for example, like you have a quote-unquote redneck sequence with a bunch of cages out in the back.
Okay.
Move those cages into the mad scientist lab, you're telling a different story all of a sudden.
Yeah. Or just move the mad scientist.
Yeah.
Well. You just move the character. It's probably easier than the cages.
But you get what I mean, though.
The idea, you can
tell a completely different story just by moving the stuff you have around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if you can't do big, big changes, and then that makes sense that you might not be able to... There are small changes you can make that have a big impact, is what we're trying to say.
Exactly.
And one of those changes,
yes,
there's its own section in the notes, is new costumes.
Yes. It's nothing more disappointing than going through a haunt for a holiday and seeing all the same costumes I saw in October.
Yeah.
Like, nothing added to it. Nothing at all. And ways that, you know, you could have just a few sprinkled here and there. It doesn't have to be all of them. But you also want to think about your makeup here and mask, because makeup and mask can change the entire feel of a haunt.
Yeah, and that's just it. I mean, you don't always have to change what's below the neck here to have a huge impact. Once again, going for minimum work, maximum impact.
Yeah.
Changing the face is what's going to give you that punch.
Right.
A new makeup job takes maybe a character that was a zombie or... You know, a possession victim or something like that.
Right.
If you're doing an Easter haunt, perhaps you'd make them more rodent-like.
More rodent-like, or just put them in pastel colors, like we were talking about with changing the lights. Just
or even something like for a Christmas haunt, just give them really rosy cheeks.
Yeah.
Like fake rosy cheeks.
No.
With the same makeup. It's such a simple, subtle change can have a huge impact and make it, make the rest of the, even though the rest of the costume might be the same or very similar, it's going to look totally different and give a very different impression.
Yeah.
Yes, some characters, especially your Q-line actors, may need full costumes.
Yeah.
But when I look at someone, even especially a haunt actor,
right,
the face is what I look at, mm-hmm, and that's, we're biologically trained to do that, because that's where we get our cues. That's how I, yeah, know this person's angry at me or threatening to me.
Right. And I mean, we look for faces in everything.
Yeah.
So.
Including finding Jesus in toast.
Exactly.
That's how people see Jesus in everything.
Yes.
We're looking for faces.
Yes.
So, yeah. If nothing else, you can invest in some interesting theme masks.
Right.
You can invest in, like I said, makeup for this. That's right. Really, really good.
And just to highlight what you were talking about with Q-line actors, it's the same rules as for when your haunts open. The actors who are going to be interacting more directly with customers get better quality stuff.
Yeah.
They just do.
They do. And especially since they're going to be there for an extended period of time.
Right.
Because it's the time issue, not just the interaction issue.
Yeah.
A costume that I'm going to be looking at for 5, 10, 3 hours, however long I'm in the queue line, mm-hmm, is much different than one I'm going to see for 10 seconds inside a haunt.
Yeah.
And while we're at it, and this isn't really a costuming element, but it's something I thought of while thinking about costumes,
right,
is talk to your actors about their movements.
Mm-hmm.
If you paint someone up like a rodent, but they still move the same,
right,
it loses some of that impact. Instead, yeah, teach them to be more, have some more rodent mannerisms. Tell them to have some skittish movements and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to be an erotic, I almost said erotic elf. Oh my god, an erotic elf.
Oh god. See what I have to deal with.
I'm glad this is on camera.
Yeah, exactly.
No, a neurotic elf.
A neurotic
elf.
Necrotic.
A neurotic or necrotic.
Yeah.
But elf. Have them move differently. They're not going to move the same as if they were a regular zombie.
Right.
Figure out how they can move more rodent and leprechaun or elf-like, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And just little ticks that immediately identify that movement as being more like that can really help sell it.
Yeah.
Finally, for the inside the haunt list,
mm-hmm,
humor.
Yeah.
Long story short, yeah, you're going to want to bake in at least a little bit of humor.
Yeah, and it's easier to put humor into holiday haunts because people are already seeing it in a way that they don't expect.
Yeah.
So you're already flipping the script on them. Instead of, you know, happy, happy holiday, it's scary, scary holiday.
Yeah.
So it's easy to put in some humor that's still going to be disturbing and probably more so.
Yeah, and the thing is, holiday haunts are still a fairly new medium for haunters.
Right.
And a new medium for customers. It still has that novelty element,
mm-hmm,
which means customers don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And when they don't know what to expect, that makes it easier to set the expectations and mess with them, both for the purpose of scares and humor.
Right.
And both, and a scare and a joke have the same elements.
Yeah.
The setup and the punchline.
Exactly.
It's just one time the punchline's a little more literal sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah. So baking in a little humor, this is a great way to break the tension, because if your haunt is attack, 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 they're going to get their shields up, they're never going to drop them, and you're just going to have diminishing return on those scares. Put a joke in there, make them laugh, make them smile,
yeah,
shields come down immediately.
Yeah.
Nothing breaks that tension faster than laughter.
Right.
And that's something that haunt should do with their regular show too.
Uh-huh.
But it's easier, as you said, to do it, and I would say more important to do it with a holiday show.
Yeah, I was just thinking of Santa using elves like marionettes, so he's got marionettes, elves, and then the elves come running towards you. That would be awesome. That would be funny too. But
okay.
Anyway.
But no, baking in some kind of humorous elements is a good thing. Because remember, the main thing with a haunt is, yeah, we're trying to scare people,
right,
but we're an entertainment industry. We're trying to make people happy.
Yeah.
And the best way for people to leave your haunt is not cuddled up in a pool of their own bodily fluids.
No.
It's to be laughing and smiling and feeling like they accomplished something.
Right.
Like they overcame something. Those are the customers that come back here after the one that's a bloody urine-soaked mess at the end of it. Probably ain't coming back next year.
Well, no, and they should never be bloody leaving your haunt.
Well, I meant fake blood in this case.
Okay. Not real blood.
All right. So, dealing with some marketing stuff of it real fast, that's what we're going to wrap up on, I think. We've only got a few more things. Don't charge full price for part of the haunt.
Yeah.
This one stems from an actual issue. Well, I wouldn't say issue, maybe strong. But one of the things we noticed, like New Orleans Nightmare, is they charge their regular in-season prices for their holiday haunts.
Right.
Though only 2/3 of the haunt was open.
Yeah.
You go in at basically the 1/3 point and go out the normal exit. That
was their first year. We haven't been back
true.
Since.
But that still aggravated us that year, and we made note of it. Basically, if you can't open your whole haunt, offer a special price. Now, it doesn't have to be, oh, they had 1/3 missing, we've got to drop the price by 1/3.
Right.
Not that simple.
No.
But just something to give the indication that this is not the full show.
Right. Exactly.
Even like $5 in that case.
Unless you are doing the full show.
If you're doing the full show, then that's fine.
Yeah.
By all means, please continue. But, yeah, if you're unable to open up the full haunt, you may not be, do not charge your full regular season price. And the reason for that is the customers that went during your regular season are going to remember, and they're going to feel a little bit ripped off, and that's because we can't rely, because one of the advantages haunts have as an attraction is most people only go to an individual haunt once a year. And that includes even us, usually.
Yep.
So that means it's been 365 days since they've seen it. They're going to struggle to remember what's old, what's new, how big it was, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they take notes like we do and time everything, they're going to struggle to remember that.
Yeah.
This time around, you're only waiting 2 months.
Yeah.
4 months. Something like that. You've cut your time by less than half. I think like Easter would be 6 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the result of that is they're going to have a much easier time remembering. The other possibility is new people will come. This will be their first exposure to your haunt. And they're going to feel like this is really pricey for what they got.
Yeah.
And then they're not going to go, oh, well, there's probably more during the regular season.
No,
that's not the way they're going to look at it. So don't rely on that 365-day amnesia that's so common. The length of the run.
Yeah.
This is the difficult one, I think.
Yeah, and I have to credit Ellie with adding this to our notes for us. So I asked her if there were anything.
Yeah, how long should you do the holiday haunt?
Yeah. Because a lot of these events are only a weekend.
Yeah.
Or only Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Which does create a lot of FOMO and a lot of interest for that one day.
And a Friday the 13th haunt, I understand.
Yes.
It kind of does have to be one day because it doesn't make much sense to do a Saturday the 14th haunt. Though there was a really funny movie called Saturday the 14th that deserves more attention and more people should be... I mean, we're all in quarantine. Just watch the goddamn movie.
Yeah, fair enough.
Anyways, but a Friday the 13th haunt kind of has to be one day.
Right.
But... an Easter haunt, a Christmas haunt, a Valentine's Day haunt, you have a little more flexibility. Because even though there are one day those things happen, there are also things associated more with like a season.
Right.
Than per se just, you know, a singular day.
Well, and like for Christmas, they start putting out Christmas stuff with the Halloween stuff at some stores. So people have Christmas on the brain early. So you could get away with 3 weekends in December if you have it ready.
If you wanted to,
you could get away with that. But for Valentine's Day, you only have 2 weeks in February. Nobody's thinking about Valentine's Day in January.
No. My attitude on these is because you're sinking cost into it, I mean, even if it's, like I said, even if you do the things we did, it's all about in the decoration side where you are finding low cost, low energy ways to make a big impact. You're still sinking some costs. You're still sinking time. I think one night is really difficult. Now, Friday the 13th, for example, might not need much change.
No, it can just be a regular horror
theme. A regular show.
Yeah.
So you don't have to actually change anything.
Right.
And that, once again, for one night, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Why would you do anything too different? You might sneak in a few things here and there, But it's not going to be a whole new show.
Right.
With the Christmas, Valentine's Day, Easter, St. Leprechaun Day. Oh, my God.
St. Patrick's Day?
St. Patrick's Day. I clearly need more Haunt Weekly juice.
Yes.
Those types of haunts, people are expecting a much different show. So you are going to have to invest more resources into making that show. To me, if you're doing it less than a weekend, you're probably wasting a lot of that time. Yeah, there's good FOMO for one-day events.
Right.
And if it's a popular haunt, everyone and their brother is going to come out for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we heard about what happened at Haunt in Houston that made their last day Friday the 13th, right before everything went cray-cray.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had a lot of people there. But long story short, I think one weekend, two nights would be your minimum.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a way to stretch it into either another day, like if... like the St. Patrick's Day falls on a Wednesday or something, you do that Wednesday maybe, and the 2 week nights that weekend might mm-hmm. be possible. But yeah, finding ways to get an extra day or two just because you want to make sure you capitalize fully on the holiday and balance that FOMO in your customers and your ability to process enough people. There are physical limits on how many people you can put through a haunt.
Right.
And the final item up for bid this week is promotion. This is an area, of course, very dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's why I've switched over the comments for a minute.
Yeah, long story short, and you mentioned this earlier,
mm-hmm.
That people think about holidays at different points. Christmas, people start thinking about that crap the very latest November 1st.
Yeah.
But Valentine's Day, people start thinking about it maybe the 1st of February.
Right.
St. Patrick's Day, no one thinks about that crap until they see it on their calendar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, shit, it's St. Patrick's Day. It's probably the most common
one. Except here, because there's a parade or...
There's a parade the weekend after, though.
Well, yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
But long story short, you know, it's different for each holiday. Your promotion, and that includes flyers, commercials, anything else you're going to do. Right around the time people start thinking about it.
Yeah.
Like I said, Easter is fairly close in, especially in this area where we have Lent.
Right.
And a lot of people observe Lent, and therefore they're not thinking about Easter until the end of Lent is like within arm's reach of them.
Right.
And they're very happy about that.
Yeah.
Easter is a bit close in, Christmas is far out. But basically, soon after people start thinking about the holidays, a good time to get it in. Because if you promote too early, people are going to forget the message.
Right.
Because they're not thinking about the holiday. They're not mm-hmm. putting it in any kind of mental scrapbook.
Yeah, and I would also say if your town has a special holiday of its own or a festival that celebrates the town, definitely do something to open for that.
Yeah. But like I said, if you start promoting the event too late in season, mm-hmm. people are going to have plans already.
Yeah.
You want to be the plans.
Right.
Not the parade, not the concert, not, you know, whatever else is going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's best to start right as season begins, whatever that season may be. And that's drastically different from regular haunt season.
Yeah.
Because, long story short, not too late, is like haunt season, we have to start promoting early September, which no normal person is thinking about Halloween. And we are, listeners to this podcast are, we're thinking about it in April now.
Yeah, well, whenever we go into a costume shop or the first weekend of Spirit and there are other people there, we're like, those are our people.
Mm-hmm.
We need to talk to them.
But most people aren't. But you have to start the marketing because you're going to be opening either early October or mid-September probably.
Right.
And so you need to hype those first days to get people there and get people thinking about your haunt early. And with that, I mean, and this is the great thing about haunted attractions, is we do kind of make Halloween an all October holiday.
We do.
I mean, otherwise, yeah. I mean, think about this. Without haunted attractions and without the horror movie thons and so forth, most of October would be this Martha Stewart crap, fall celebration stuff.
Yeah.
With the turkeys and the cutout pumpkins and that stuff. But luckily, you know, haunted attractions and so forth are here to make all of Halloween spooky. That is our contribution to society, ultimately.
Yeah.
Well, that is all the notes we have. That is what's fit to print this week. I hope this episode was useful. We only talked about COVID briefly in the beginning.
Yeah.
Let us know. Definitely, going back to that, we need your suggestions for things haunters are doing to help haunters.
Yes.
Once again, message us, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, YouTube.com/Haunt Weekly is our YouTube channel. Once again, there. And also, HauntWeekly.com, you have our contact form. Contact us there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, just to close it out, we're on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher as well, just to close out that part.
Right.
But yeah, definitely let us know any interesting tutorials, webinars, webcasts, Facebook/Google Hangout/Zoom, whatever meetups haunters are having.
Right.
Let us know. We want to change our conference reminders to a notice board for those types of events.
Yes.
So please help us out. Let us know. And we will do our best to get those included next week. We'll put links to them in the show notes.
Right.
Definitely hoping that we can get more attention to the great things haunters are doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have a cat. Yes. If you're watching and you're wondering what the hell we're both looking at, we have a suicidal cat. yeah. Please ignore it. It's on its last life.
Yeah.
It's on 8.5.
Yeah.
But on that note, everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunting Weekly, episode 227, talking about holiday haunts. And we will see you next week, where it's episode 228, divisible by 4, and that means it's time to do...
The news.
God damn it. We will see you guys then. Hopefully we'll be able to make it somewhat happy and helpful.
Yeah.